The following is a recording of the funeral services of our friend and brother, Brother H. Klein Hill, on this Monday afternoon, June 25th, 1979. The funeral is being held at the Ashwood Church of Christ building here in Nashville, Tennessee. Speaking at the funeral first will be Brother Edsel Holman, one of the elders who served with Brother Hill at the Ashwood Church. He will then be followed by Brother Virgil Ritchie, a longtime friend from Georgia. Brother Ritchie represents one of a great number of men whom Brother Hill had influenced and encouraged to preach the gospel of Christ. Those participating in the singing are Alan and Beth Powell, Tim Greer, Teresa Pringle, and Boggs E. Huff. Also, by request, Brother Henry Arnold will bring a special song. And now the services are about to begin.
We have come this hour to pay our respects to Brother Clyde Hale. Brother Hale passed away on June 23rd, last Saturday, 8:30 in the morning. Sister Hale has left, Mrs. Christine Hale, Christine Ward Hale. Daughters, Mrs. Ann Hale Johnson of Nashville, Mrs. Rosalind Hale Boyd of Jackson, Tennessee, and six grandchildren. We not only have come to pay our respects to Brother Hale, but we've come to comfort as much as we can the loved ones who have left behind. And I guess we would say that we've come to remind us all that we too shall pass this way. Brother Hale loved the scriptures, and I want to turn to the scriptures now and read first from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 5. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. From Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. The psalmist in 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And from Proverbs 14, verse 32, the righteous hath hope in his death. I'd like for us to turn to John 14, verses 1 through 3. Very familiar verses, but one that Brother Hale loved so much and read and believed. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I guess of all the verses in the Bible that would make me know the way Brother Hale lived and the way he loved the Lord would be the words that are expressed in Psalm 23. I know of no man who believed these words more than he. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through the years, we have listened to preachers as they stand as I'm standing now, speak words of comfort to the family and to others. And yet the person who lies before them is one like Demas, who loved the present world. There are others who have preached the sermons of those who are lukewarm Christians, Christians but not very dedicated to God. And then a great many sermons are preached on occasions like this when the person could be compared to a Barnabas, a supporter of God's eternal truths and God's work and God's kingdom. But it's a rare occasion when one can stand in a service like this and say the one who lies before us was not only like Barnabas, a great supporter of God's truth, but was more than that. He was like Paul. He was a great leader in God's kingdom, a leader of those things that were eternal and great and good, one who stood firm in teaching even when it was not popular, even when decisions were to be made that may not be agreeable to all the people. When Brother Hale knew that God's word teaches this, that's the way he taught it. I know of no man who loved God's word more than Brother Hale. He will be remembered by his family, Sister Hale, who was so close to him. She will remember him because the love he gave to her. And she'll remember him because of the kindnesses that he showed and the sacrifices that he made and the great work that he did, not only to give the family and the daughters and his wife so many wonderful things, but to give them the spiritual strength by his example that I just know will never pass from their lives. Sister Hale will remember the 53 and a half years together with Brother Hale. She helped him, she supported him, she encouraged him, and she aided him in becoming one of the great evangelists, one of the great preachers of our time. She will recall the closeness of their lives as they reared two daughters, outstanding daughters, beautiful physically, but more important, beautiful spiritually. I'm sure they will always be strong in the Lord, these daughters who love their daddy so much. They'll be strong in the Lord because of the great Christian influence of this Christian home. I know they saw the image of Christ in Brother Hale and in Sister Hale too. I'd like to just insert here, and I think it not inappropriate to say that a word of appreciation is due Dr. Woodfin. Dr. Woodfin is the medical doctor who looked after Brother Hale, who loved him, as so many of us did. Dr. Woodfin, in his very quiet and unassuming manner, with no fanfare, has helped so many, and in the case of Brother Hale, has gone far, far beyond the call of duty. I know of no one in this life who let their light shine to other people through the teaching of God's eternal truths, through an example of great Christian living, through a kind manner than Brother Clyde Hale. When we think of the pattern of the Lord's life, as the Lord grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, we can look at Brother Hale's life and see the same pattern. Brother Hale loved to learn. He studied, he read, he taught. He loved the Bible, the truths that it taught, and perhaps even more important, he knew how important it was that he, as well as every man and woman, obey God's truths in order to go to heaven. Brother Hale grew in stature. I did not know him in his earlier years, but I'm told that he stood tall and straight and commanded respect, and he was dignified, and when he spoke, people listened, not only because of the way he looked, because he knew so much, but also because of the way he stood and the stature that he presented to others and the strength that he presented. A great man in every way. Brother Hale grew in favor with God, and I guess I learned more from Brother Hale about when there were problems and that seemed not to have any answers or not good answers. I learned to pray. Now, I knew to pray, but Brother Hale, in these times of what might be termed crisis, would say, let's pray about it. And he's come over to see me, and I've been to see him to talk about the great work of the church. He grew in favor with God, and he grew in favor with men. His kind way, his way of sitting over to my left And I'd be standing here sometimes trying to teach a class, knowing full well that all the knowledge was there in that great mind. And when I'd walk down these steps, he would say, "Brother Holman, that was a great lesson. I learned something." I don't know how much or what he learned, but he sure encouraged so many like that. After Brother Hale's schooling at Freed Hardeman and Lipscomb and these early years Brother Richie is going to talk about, spent 17 years in Atlanta and then in Texas a year, and back at the West End congregation in Nashville for 14 and University Church 10. But after all this preaching, so many souls saved, so many people who are going to be in heaven because he taught. But after all of this, some of his greatest work was yet to be done. As he took on the role of elder and guided so many who were younger elders and helped so many to work in a way that God would want elders to work, his ability to counsel, his ability to influence others for good cannot be surpassed. Sometimes somebody would say, "Brother Hale, got a problem." And he'd say, "What is it?" "Well, this, the Bible says this, and now some people are saying this. How would you answer that?" And Brother Hale would always have the answer, and it would be from God's Word. During these last months, Sister Hale has changed roles. We said earlier she aided and encouraged and strengthened and stood by his side and worked with him in becoming a great preacher and a great elder. During the last months, she has become a comforter and a helper and a strength during his illness. She stood by his side like no person I've ever seen stand by another. She has encouraged him and strengthened him even in these days. And you know what she says? When somebody says, "Sister Hale, you're just giving all of your time to Brother Hale now." And she said, "This is what I am supposed to do. This is what I said I would do 53 years ago, in sickness or in health, till death do us part." Sister Hale is one of the classic examples to young ladies of how a wife should live. So, as we look about us and see trees that we've planted or buildings that we think will stand forever and yet we know they'll all pass, so man too, the Bible says, shall pass away. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So God has called our beloved Brother Hale home. The story has been told of a young man just out of high school who took a job away from home for the first time, and he was very young. And when he would come back home on the weekends, he would get off the bus, and between where he got off and home was a dark, wooded area. It would be after night. And when he would get off the bus and walk to the edge of the woods, he would holler in a loud voice, "Dad!" And on the other side, his daddy would be waiting. And he'd say, "I'm here. Come on home." On Saturday morning, God said to our beloved Brother Hale, "I'm here. Come on home." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, We are thankful for thee and for thy son. We're thankful for thy church that thy son purchased with his blood. And we're thankful for thy word that we can read and study and learn thy way for us. Father, we thank thee for Brother Clyde Hale, who studied, who believed in, who had faith in thee and knew that there was a great and beautiful home beyond the grave. We're thankful for his life, for his teachings, and for his influence. We're thankful for all that he left behind, the great treasures of influence that's embedded in the lives of so many people, those who knew him, those who listened to him teach. Our Father, we pray that thou will be with Sister Hale now. It's a sad moment, but it's a great and glorious moment. It's a moment when one of God's children's going home to be with him forever and ever. It's a moment that she can look forward or look back to and remember all of her life, and the daughters can look back to and remember the great man, the great father, the great husband that had meant so much to them and to all of us. Comfort her, Father, as only thou canst do, and comfort these daughters and these grandchildren and others. And help us all, Father, this hour to look not to a man really, but to the demonstration of thy word in a life. And help us to imitate Brother Hale as he imitated thee. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
As Brother Holman has already stated, we have come to pay a tribute of respect to the memory of Brother H. Clyde Hale, a beloved brother in Christ, a true friend, a neighbor, and a gospel preacher. I feel it a distinct honor that he and the family would want me to have a part in the funeral service. The relationship that I have had with Brother Hale throughout the years does not make this an easy thing to do. Now, I have never had an easy funeral, but this one especially is not an easy one. I suppose it involves me emotionally more than any that I have ever had a part in. But I am thankful that I did have the privilege of knowing Brother Hale and did come under his influence. I was his student for quite a few years, and I am confident that had it not been for his encouragement and for his help so many times, I would not have been a preacher of the gospel. I have known Brother Hale for so many years, since he first moved, he and Sister Hale moved to Atlanta in 1927 to work with the West End Avenue Church, it was at that time. It was located on West End Avenue. And Brother S.H. Hall and Brother B.C. Goodpasture had preceded Brother Hale in that work. I am relating these things to you because I feel that it's something perhaps about his life that you did not know, at least some of you. And Brother Holman has adequately covered his life as you knew it. But when they moved there, the church numbered about 400. And he and Sister Hale began to work as a team. And upon that foundation, the church rapidly grew as they worked among the members and those outside of the body of Christ. Almost every evening, Brother Hale and maybe some of the other West End members would conduct cottage meetings, and hundreds were baptized as a result of that. No sacrifice was ever too great. No time was ever too inconvenient. No distance was ever too far for him to teach one about Christ and his church. So as a result of that work, the church began to grow rapidly under his leadership, working, of course, with the elders there. And he was a master at personal work. I remember Brother W.S. Stroud, one of the elders at West End at the time, telling me on several occasions, he would say, Brother Hale is a marvelous personal worker. He said, he tells me almost every week, this one or that one is going to be baptized this Lord's Day. And it would always happen. So that work, of course, caused the church to grow rapidly, and there were many baptisms into Christ as a result of it. And under his leadership, the church was relocated and a new building erected on the corner of Gordon and Hopkins Streets, and the present West End building is located there. And that was during the Great Depression, and you can appreciate the task that he had in accomplishing that. In that period of time, if you lived during that period of time, you can especially appreciate it. And those of you who haven't, I'm sure have heard enough about it to make you appreciate the task that he had in doing that. But he did accomplish the task. And the church there continued to grow. Brother Hale conducted one of the earliest radio programs in Georgia. He spoke over WAGA at 12:15 in the afternoon for 10 years. And that, of course, resulted in very many baptisms. And his work in Georgia was very fruitful. The fact of it is, I feel that these were his peak years, that this was his most productive time of life as far as saving souls is concerned, as far as building up and strengthening the church is concerned. Not only did Brother Hale establish congregations in the city of Atlanta, but in other places as well. In 1935, he held a tent meeting in the northwest section of Atlanta, and a congregation was a result of that. Several were baptized, I don't remember the number, but in addition to them, those who were baptized, 40 members from West End joined the group, and the Northwest Church came into being. And in 1930, he held a series of meetings at Marietta. The group was meeting about 4 miles out from the city at that time, and known as the Pleasant Grove Church of Christ, and 25 people were baptized in his efforts there. There were a few who were meeting there in that frame building, and incidentally, that's the first place that I ever preached, and of course it was at Brother Hale's urging and insistence that I did that. I never will forget how he forced me into making the first talk I ever made. One Sunday evening, I came up the steps of the building, and Brother Hale was standing there in the door. And he said, "Virgil, I want you to make a talk Wednesday evening." Well, it scared me so bad, really. I didn't hardly know what to say and didn't give him too good an answer, but I managed to say, "I guess I can't do that, Brother Hale." But he said, "I know you can. Don't you tell me you can't do that." And he said, "I'm going to announce it." And he did. He announced it. So I had to go through with it. But after that time, he never did let me rest. He kept me busy, sending me different places. And Marietta was one of those places, along with Brother Stryve. And as a result, our work continued to be done by Brother Hale and West End. A church moved into the city, a lot was purchased, and West End gave a sum of money, and I believe maybe some churches here in Nashville helped in that. And a building was built there, and they remained there for some time and were able to employ a full-time preacher. But the Great Olive Street Church in Marietta is a result of that work done there. Then in 1934, Brother Hale received word that the church at LaGrange, Georgia, was having some problems. There were some divisions there. So he held a 3-Sunday tent meeting there in LaGrange, and as a result, 65 people were baptized. And he was also able to persuade the brethren there to settle their differences. And a piece of property was given by Callaway Mills, and I believe $10,000 to help them build a building. So a strong congregation came about as a result of his work there. And then following that, through the years, he was responsible for baptisms occurring at LaGrange. Then Brother Hale also planted the Lord's Church in the city of Athens. That took place in 1933. And they first began to meet in the city hall, Brother and Sister Hale, Ann and Rosalind would meet there in the courtroom of the city hall. And then tent meetings were held after that. And again, a church of the Lord came into being because of the efforts of Brother Hale and his family. Now, of course, a strong church exists in Athens, and one that is self-supporting. One of the greatest things that Brother Hale did while he was in Atlanta was to get Brother Marshall Keeble to come and to hold a meeting there. That was in 1931. And at that time, there was not a single black member of the church in Atlanta. And a lot was selected in a nice black neighborhood on Ashby Street there. And when Brother Keeble arrived, they took him over there, and he wasn't happy with that location. And he said, "This is the wrong location." He said, "These people won't come under the tent. Show me where the common people live and work." So he looked around, and he found a lot on Simpson Street. And Brother Keeble thought that was the ideal location. So they erected the tent there, and the night before, as I understand it, a heavy rain occurred, and the lot was almost a sea of mud. And Brother Keeble helped erect that tent, and so did Brother Hale, and I'm told dressed in a white linen suit. But there was no task that he was not willing to perform if it would help the Lord's work in any way. As a result of that meeting, although it had a fairly slow start, after a few nights, the tent began to overflow, and 166 people were baptized. And a building was erected on that spot, and the Simpson Street Church came into being. And it still stands, and I guess it's the largest church in Georgia at this time. So Brother Hale and Brother Keeble teamed together to conduct one of the greatest meetings ever held in Atlanta. Then Brother Hale, of course, helped congregations that were weak and struggling in other locations in and around Atlanta. The Bremen Church was established. Brother Hale went there and helped them numbers of times and worked with them. He helped the church at Rockmart many times, held many meetings there. And I wasn't aware of this until just recently, but I was told that at that time, Rockmart had an organ in the building, and Brother Hale was able to get them to remove that. So that, again, was a great accomplishment for him in the Lord's work there. So this is by no means all the work that he accomplished. Only God knows the great work, the great good that he did. But this is just some of the few things that he was able to accomplish in the city of Atlanta and locations nearby, other parts of the state. Soon after they moved to Atlanta, he and Sister Hale, the Lord blessed their family with two lovely daughters, Ann and Rosalind. I've known them ever since they were born. I've seen them grow up into fine Christian young women, as dedicated and consecrated to the Lord and his work as their mother and father. And Sister Hale was a most wonderful companion. Had it not been for her support, I'm sure that he would not have been able to accomplish all that he did in his work in Georgia. And also, of course, the girls likewise supported him and were enthusiastic about his work. But the great soldier of the cross then has laid his armor down and has gone to his eternal rest. Brother Hale was a man of great faith. I've never known him to show a weakness of faith. The fact of it is, he rebuked me several times when I would be despondent and discouraged, and I needed it, but it always helped me. Sometimes he'd say, "Oh, ye have little faith," but I never did know him to show little faith. And he always would say, "Don't worry about a thing. If you just do what the Lord tells you to do, everything will work out all right." And whenever I did become despondent, discouraged, all that was necessary to do was just talk to Brother Hale a few minutes, and I'd forgotten all about them. He could pick you up about as quick as anybody I have ever known. But that's the way he was. He was one who was a great encourager, and I believe Brother Holman has already made reference to that. He was a man of great zeal for the Lord's cause. When he moved to Atlanta, the church there numbered, we said, about 400. When he left there in 1943, it numbered 800, by far the largest church in Georgia and the largest one Georgia's ever had. Now, maybe it sounds strange to some of you in Tennessee, but a membership of 800 in Georgia is an accomplishment. So that was what the church numbered when he left there. That is a testimony to the great work which he did. There's no church in Georgia today that numbers 800. If there is, I don't know anything about it. And when I think of Brother Hale's dedicated life, there are one or two scriptures that come to mind. One is 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Paul, I think, paid Timothy as high a compliment as he could pay him. When he said, "Oh, man of God, flee these things." And I think it's as high a compliment that one could pay Brother Hale to say that he was a man of God. Truly he was. And when you can say that about one, I think you said about all that can be said. "Oh, thou man of God." And then another one that I think of is Hebrews 6, verse 10, which fits Brother Hale rather closely, about as good as anything could. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which ye showed toward his name, and that ye ministered unto the saints and still do minister. If there's one thing he ever did, it was show love for the work of the Lord and minister to the saints. And not only those, but all others whom he found who had need. Then another one that I think of is Hebrews 11, verse 4. Where the writer speaks of righteous Abel and says that he being dead yet speaketh. And I think that's true of Brother Hale. The life that he lived, the influence that he had, will speak many, many years. He has gone. He has left this life. But he will still live on in the memory of many people. After we received the news Saturday of Brother Hale's passing, We called several people there who were friends of theirs when they were there, and they began to tell others about it, and soon the calls began to come. Numbers of people called me and told me of some of the things that he had done that had touched their life and had influenced them and had helped them, and they would just weep while they were talking to me. That shows the great influence that he had, and that people haven't forgot that, and they never will forget it. He being dead, yet to speak it. And then another one is Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Again, the works of Brother Hale follow him, and they always will believe. In Atlanta, there are some 33 churches. And these are the result or the outgrowth of the work that was done during the years when Brother Hale was there. There were only two churches when he first moved there. Now there's some 33, 34. And many faithful families, many who are leaders in the church today, among those whom he baptized into Christ while he was there. And another good work that he did was to train preachers. He had a training class. I was in that class. Not only I, but there were eight others as well. Well, that was not the number of the entire class, but there were eight preaching prospects. And out of that class came those eight gospel preachers. Some of them are still preaching. Some of them are not. Some of them have died. But again, that is a great monument to the work which he did. The training of preachers. And I don't know how you can do a greater work than that. Because the Lord, the work of the Lord needs them so badly today. In 1972, Brother Hale came to Riverdale, where we live and work, for a meeting. And it was one of the best meetings we'd ever had. There were 12 responses to the invitation, 12 additions to the Lord's body. Now that number, eight of them were baptisms. And again, that's a good number in Georgia. And we can have a meeting like that, then it means quite a bit. It doesn't sound like much to you maybe, but it does to us. We're always happy to have that many to respond to the Lord's invitation. There's only one meeting we've ever had where we had more responses than that. And he would have come back again had he been physically able. We sorrow because Brother Hale is gone. And by Hale, it is selfishness on our part, because we know that for him it is very far better. We sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. If he isn't in the realm of the righteous dead, and I confess that I am at a loss to say what kind of life one would have to live to go there. So it's not that we don't have any hope, but the reason why we sorrow for him is because we're selfish. We will no longer feel the warmth of his personality. We will no longer know and feel the power of his influence. We will no longer receive the wisdom of his counsel and things of that nature. That's why we sorrow at his passing. It is very far better for him, but we sincerely believe that because of the great work that he did, as a preacher of the gospel, as an elder in the church, that the Lord has received him unto himself. And there he will be throughout eternity. And because of the great example that he set before Christians wherever he went, then others can have the same hope if they follow in the steps of the Lord as he did, as he endeavored to do all of his life. We're thankful that we had the privilege of knowing him and had the privilege of being associated with him in the Lord's work. And these things, I know, are a comfort to Sister Hale, to Ann, and to Rosalind, to Jimmy, of course, who knew him many years and was associated with him in the Lord's work, and was encouraged by him many times, I know, just as I was. So we know that this can be a great source of comfort to you, and a hope that someday you can join him and be with him throughout eternity. Would you pray, please? Our gracious Father, we are thankful to thee for the privilege of knowing Brother Hale, for the privilege of coming under his influence, for the great good that he's done in preaching the gospel and the other good works that he has done in the kingdom. We're thankful to thee for his family, for the great help and comfort they were and support to him in his work, for their love and zeal for the Lord's cause. We pray thy blessings upon them in the future as they endeavor to continue to serve thee apart from the companionship of a father and husband. We pray thy rich blessings upon them. Help them to continue to walk close to thee and to rely upon thee for strength and upon thy word for wisdom and guidance. This we pray for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
In order for us to show our final respects to Brother Clyde Hale, the family has requested that we sing together, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," number 393 in your hymn books. if you'll turn to that song, number 393, as we stand together.
With the congregation singing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," this concludes the memorial service to our friend and brother, Brother Clyde Hale. Bringing words of comfort and encouragement was Brother Edsel Holman and Brother Virgil Ritchie. This is Boggs E. Huff speaking to you from the auditorium of the Ashwood Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee, on this Monday afternoon, June 25th, 1979.